that although it may be somewhat naive and to a thinking that they are in our best interest, but there are others that come in with a trained eye, a trained ear, and a more affluent exposure, that if we were to step back and reflect upon and avail ourselves, we will be better off as a result of it. Praise the Lord. One thing I found in my life and studying, not only through the analytical and academic levels, but also in the practical experience of life, that we learned from each other. And if you reject knowledge in each other, you fail to develop appropriately as you should. There is a picture that being formed, even as I speak, that some people were very impressed with on yesterday. And we've been mentioning to you this for quite some time, and this thing is begin to congeal now. And people have seen it, even though we sit in the midst of it and don't recognize it. You've heard this term in the past, and maybe it's baffling to you that you can't discern the forest from the trees. You may not be able to comprehend and understand what that means, but sometimes you've grown so accustomed to something that is not altogether what it ought to be until you become satisfied with a lesser, when you can be blessed with a better. All right? This is not to be offensive. It's just one of the courses of nature, one of the courses that we've learned, one of the things that we recognize, and other people that may come in for the first time. Praise the Lord. So much so, and so somebody says, whenever you're going to have something of this caliber again, let us know. And you may sit here and don't want to grow. You may sit here and don't want to develop. You may have an attitude that is not acceptable. Oh, I can't go into all of that on today. But other people can see how blessed you are. Praise the Lord. And one of the things that really ignite the thought, they said, in their observation, is the genuine unity. And that's a blessing. This afternoon, we may do something a little different. We want to thank all of our visitors again. But in our discourse, we'll be a little different. It may be more of a biblical dialogue rather than an emotional demonstration in our lesson today. And why is this? You've heard the young people said they want to be baptized. I would like for you, from a biblical perspective, to understand why it's important to be baptized. And those of you that come and are here for family support alone, you may find that it may be more advantageous to you if not only do you bond with these from an ethnic family, but also to listen so that you can have a more profound and a better concept. Today, I would like for you to understand the proof is in the Bible, and the Bible is the proof. And we would like for you to understand that, in the sense that it's just not a story being told. It is history. It is poetry. It is prophecy. It is real. It's of value. So it's not an intellectual exercise. And if I don't put my hand behind my ears, and I won't, if I don't holler through the mic, and I won't, I hope that those of you that will follow us through this exercise today will look upon it and will see it for what it's worth. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, those of you that are not Bible scholars, or the book of Acts is the history of the church written by the physician Luke for the benefit of those that would be born into the church. It is also referred to as the Acts of the Apostles, because it's where Jesus endowed them with power to understand the prophecy. And we will go back into the Old Testament of the prophecy at some point in time in our discourse today. I don't want to make it boring, but I want you to go away with a better understanding. Bear with us. The Bible said a little child shall lead them. And we have had many testimonies this morning of children that have been coming. I'm sure they have engaged their parents in a dialogue as to the point that what they wanted to do. And maybe their parents had said at some time, no, you're not old enough, you're not ready enough. But after a while, they begin to come on and say it repeatedly, and probably just step back a while and say, maybe, perhaps, these children are on to something. Hello, y'all still here? Maybe, perhaps, I can be led by this child. This can be the beginning of the first day in your life in this world in Christ. And all because of a little child whose heart is as genuine and pure as the newly fallen snow. Thank God it's not snowing. Praise the Lord. Last year, this time, I guess we were doing something like that. But it starts off in the first chapter. And let me read the first three verses of this first chapter of the book of Acts. Again, and it reads on this order. The former treaties, agreements, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. The word infallibility means indubitable, errorless proofs. Being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. In the first chapter of the book of St. John, we will bear with you Go with us. All right. Okay. Maybe starting at verse number 29 in the first chapter of St. John. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Chronologically, when we go to the Old Testament, you say, how could this be? But we're talking prophetically. And that's why you can go through a seminary or natural exercise and get the full essence and the impact that this should have. But if you bear with us, you'll be able to understand it clearly as we engage your hearing. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bear record, we're talking about these infallible proofs, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom? Thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. The same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw. And bear record, infallible truth, that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of the disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi. Which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he says unto them, Come and see. Today I'm going to suggest that you come and see. We need to recognize that God is telling us to come and see. And we're going to engage him a little bit because after a while, not only is he come and see, but the scripture is going to tell us, says, and there he goes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he said unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. And one of the two which heard Jesus speak followed him, and Andrew and Simon, Peter's brother. And they went and found their own brother, Simon, and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And when you find Christ, but you can't find Christ until you come and see. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And he brought him to Nicodemus. Praise the Lord. And said unto him, how can... No, I am flipped two pages, right? misunderstand this Bible. It wasn't the Bible's fault in me. Okay. And Jesus beheld him. And he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. And thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. And the following, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip, and he said unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was in Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip went, and then he began to find Nathanael. And he said unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses," listen to prophecy, "in the law," over 2,000 years prior to this time, praise the Lord, "and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Listen to what Nathanael said. And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there be any good thing that come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said, "Come on and see. Today I'm telling you, you better come on and see." Yeah. You have come from New Jersey, you've come from New York, you've come. Praise the Lord, this is not coincidental. And you may come to witness, but you may be a part of this procession, because the Lord has invited you and wants you to come see. Yeah. Hallelujah. Get with us. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said unto him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile." Now notice the statement that Nathanael just made. But what Jesus saw in Nathanael, he didn't understand at the time, because God looks deeper than the externals of our, like we see. And Nathanael said unto him, "Which knowest thou me?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called you, before your brother came to tell you." Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. "When thou was under," you remember that tree? When you were sitting under the tree, I saw you before Philip came. Ain't God good? Sister Lulu, see, we are not here by coincidence. We are here by God's design. And no man could come except God saw him. And just because you are here today, it doesn't mean that God hasn't been calling you. But you have to come and see. And I would advise you and encourage you to just not sit in the pews, but come on and let's see. Praise the Lord. Let this experience be more than just the exercise. And Daniel, praise the Lord, answered and said unto him, "Rabbi," Jewish word for master, a rabboni, "thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Now remember, he was just sitting under that tree. Hello? And he didn't know that Jesus had saw him sitting in the tree, under the tree. And his brother went to get him, Philip, because he wanted him to come and see. And once he saw and spoke to Jesus, after he suggested to Philip, "Can anything come good out of Nazareth?" Because the intellect had read the scripture, and anything that anything good can come out of Nazareth, until he came and he saw. And once he saw and he heard, God his attention, praise the Lord. God revealed to him, praise the Lord, that he was the King of Israel. Today he can be the king in your life. You may have never experienced royalty, and you might have never been under the king, but today, this moment, this opportunity can be yours, and God wants to be the king in your life. You don't have to wait till the 25th day of December, but God wants to talk to you this morning. If you just loan me your ears for a little while, God wants to have a dialogue with you. God wants to appeal to your soul. God wants to appeal to your heart. God wants to appeal to your emotion. God wants to let you know why I allow you to be born when you were born for such an occasion like today. Why I suffered, why I bled, why I died, why I rose on the third day, why I sent John the Baptist to be my forerunner and the way prepared so that you can understand why you must come and see. Hallelujah. Bear with me. Hallelujah. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? And this is what Jesus said, thou shalt see greater things than these. Today we are going to witness some greater things. As a prophecy of the scripture, don't sleep on us too long, Sister Newland. You might just miss something you need to help you stay awake later, get you up out the grave when you go to sleep. Praise the Lord. This is not to be taken, praise the Lord, lightly. Prophecy of the scripture deals with the soul. And you have to get your mind on the Lord and realize you're not perfected like you should be in order to, for it to be beneficial to you when you die. And after you're going under, and that the prophecy of the scripture may take an indelible, hallelujah, an incomprehensible action in your soul. So that your anointing and the presence of God, because John already said that when he that is preferred before me, when he is come, hallelujah. And now not only John says, this is him. I was talking about him. Now I know him. Now you would think because they were cousins, but he was 6 months older, and he didn't have the comprehensive skill, because the natural man cannot understand or fathom the things of God. But if it was just deviating a little bit to bring some relevancy to the scripture to us, but if it was something, a person, a person that we have heard a lot, if President Bush was coming through the church, praise the Lord, and we never met him before, some of the other people that we have grown to know and be things distinguished, we would know how to express ourselves to somebody that didn't know him, said, this is he. Hallelujah. And everybody would flock just to get an idea of who he is. This should be the effect that the word of God have on you this morning, so that it will come into the innermost part and the cranium of your mind, and so your heart may be stimulated and motivated. Till the Spirit of God, see, the Spirit of God not going to come any fleshly, sleeping, carnal mind. It has to be an awakened soul to how the reality and the power of God can address the issues that you go through in life, so it can be a value to you, not only in this life, to a world without end. It takes the power of God to prepare the natural man. No universities or college or psychology, sociology is going to be able to elevate you to the point that you're going to be understandable and get the benefit of the scripture until you step back and be able to say, I have come and now I see. Hallelujah. And I feel and now I know. That there is a great change going on in a transitional position in my life. And I can feel the presence of God stimulating my intellect. So I want to look into this a little deeper. Praise the Lord. I want to be concerned about who is with me and who is around me, because I've never felt like this before. I've engaged in a dialogue with my God and my soul seem to benefit from this. As I begin to excel and climb higher, there is something that convinces me the more as I look into the scripture that I too can be a part of this great phenomenon that's taking place right now, this morning, at this moment, and I want to be a part of that. Hallelujah. Oh, how sweet and pleasant it is to be able to engage and let the Spirit engage you so that your soul can be benefited and you can be a benefactor. Hallelujah. This is what he said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter, Nathaniel, ye shall see heaven open. And while you engage in a heavenly vision and getting your mind off your surrounding and your natural illustrations, this is what you're going to see: angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Hallelujah. You can have that experience this morning. You can be a part of this. You can get it together like you never had it together before. You can be moved, hallelujah, by the anointing. I'm not talking about any emotional charge and exercise and futility that so many of us have gone through and claiming something that we don't have. I'm talking about a genuine experience with God that you yourself had never been exposed to. But now, even now, this moment, God's talking to you. God's engaging your mind. And that's why we were given a mind, so we can have a conversation when our mouths are closed. To hear, to feel, to have the Lord talk to us while we are not talking to Him. And the 40th division of the Isaiah. Praise the Lord. It says, once we begin to get into this euphoria, 40th chapter of Isaiah, this is what you're going to feel. You're going to feel this phenomenon. You're going to have this experience. And this is what, how it's going to react. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. God wants you to relax yourself in the presence of His dynamics. So it's not a song. Nobody is singing a song here, but they are feeling the presence. And when you begin to feel the presence, you're being comforted. And what a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful change. Somebody sang a song in my soul. Hallelujah. Since Jesus came into my life. And first he says, not only I want you to hear this, but I want you to understand, as this prophet began to write some 850 years before Jesus came, second time, he says, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Know what? Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her welfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord and a double for all of her sin. You don't get it. You don't understand it. We were born this way. We've all been this way so long until most of the theologians would tell you, you can't do any better. You may join the church, but can you let God engage your heart? We have gone so deep into our cynical concepts until we have allowed people to deceive us in our minds that if we just go through a analytical exegesis, Bible discussion, that we are okay. I'm here to tell you it's deeper than that. Hallelujah. I don't care what school it is. What seminary? You see, I may go back to Matthew pretty soon and tell you why. Praise the Lord, because somebody was here trying that before we got here. But see, we were born in sin. Our minds are warped. Our values are twisted. Our comprehension skills are lacking. Praise the Lord. We need something. And we try futilely to try to find comfort in so many things that Brother Brian T was saying, praise the Lord, earlier. And it's good to hear testimony. Somebody else would say, hallelujah,
right,
that now this brother has begun to step out because he was going through a futile experience, hooked by a spirit that somebody inculcated into him, introduced him to, and he was hoodwinked and deceived, and he wanted to break the chains that bound him, lock him in, but he's thanking God. But you know what you were hooked on. You want to be comforted. You want to be free. You want to be loose. Today I come to free you.
Come on.
I come to loose your mind. I come to give you some exposure to something you never had before, so you two can stand up and testify. I'm being free, not just like the Martin Luther King's Esther, but free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying. But he's going through a natural experience with a personal understanding how this thing works. Hello. None of us were born with such a liberty.
Right.
Till we can say we have an experience being in slavery. Come with me. I'm not talking about American concept. I'm talking about the soul concept. Whatever it is that you are being bound and attached and held on to, today I come to free you. I come to make you know God got something better, come a shunda, better than what you have gone through. God come to emancipate you. God come to liberate you. God wants to set you free so you can stand fast in the liberty where Christ have made you free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Just take a step with me, one step at a time this morning. You will feel the chains and loosen your heart and your mind. And you begin to step out. Hallelujah. The boats of transfiguration and from under the storms of difficulty to the point that you can feel the presence of God moving in your soul like you've never felt before. So you can raise your hand and clap your heart and thank God for deliverance that you experience as you hear the word of God today. Don't get mad with me. Just come and go. Come and see. So you can say, and there he goes, and I'm going to follow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Went back. He's talking about the nation Israel and how they had done a lot of junk. And they were guilty of a lot of sin. But Isaiah prophesied, hallelujah, said God, for she hath received of the Lord hand double for her sin. Come with me now. You see, because of what she had done, the Lord had let her go through a lot of agony.
Right.
Hello. Today, if you don't break the chains, if you don't step out, if you don't come forward, there are some more. I heard Sister Gordon, Dr. Gordon's sister say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. She testified. Today can be your day, your moment, your first step that you can trust God through an eye of faith and feel your help coming on. You said you want God to do this and you want God to do that. I'm here to tell you, God said, come and see. Hallelujah. God will extrapolate you. God will get you out of your prison bars. God will get you out of the things that you think nobody knows what you're thinking because you don't talk about it, but you're being held captive in your mind. God wants to loose you. You can be loose today. Oh, some of you have been in the church for a long time and still wrestling with things that altogether is not in your best interest. But God said, I'm coming again. Hallelujah. You don't have to go through because I've died now. And hallelujah, you've suffered long enough in your sin syndromes, and I come to free you. Come to liberate you. Come to set you free. You see, we are.
Yeah.
Some of us think what make us look good.
Mm-hmm.
Make us look good.
Uh-huh.
You ain't fooling nobody but yourself.
Mm.
You were held hostage.
Mm.
Get mad with me.
Free.
Hallelujah. It's not what you put on the outside. It's what you let God put on the inside to free you from your slavery on the outside. Hello. Know one thing about me. Been like this a long time, that's why I look old. I don't let folks set parameters for me to follow.
Come on.
Hallelujah. You never find me like most people putting a little earring in my ear. No way, no how. I don't let people set goals for me to follow. Hello. Don't get. See, I wasn't always this way. But when the Lord set me free in 1952 in New York City, hallelujah, after I left the campus of South Carolina State, and God began to operate in my life, and I came and saw. Praise the Lord. I let God establish the parameters in my life so I don't have to be in chain and shackles, living in sin and expensive. And it never, never lets you go. And you suffer as a result of that. He says, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. Make it straight in the desert, a highway for our God. God wants to give you a better look, a better view, a better feeling about why you are being born and why you are here today. God wants you to understand you can be delivered. I wonder, do you feel like getting delivered this morning? I want you to feel that you can understand how why the Lord protected you and allowed you to be born when he did. I wonder, do you want the feeling that I feel? Praise the Lord. I don't let nobody that devil's born again tell me how to be born again. I don't let nobody that's still dipping and dabbling in sin tell me how to feel when you ain't ready to quit.
Right.
See, brother, Durant, keep on. Hallelujah. Whoever got you hooked, I know it's the devil. But the more you take off and lay aside, the less you're weak. Come on, somebody. The Bible says lay aside every weight. See something in that but pride.
That's all.
And pride is an evil. Such as six things are here. Let them to the abomination, the sight of God. And for the proverb, it says, and it's a pride spirit. Proud spirit come before the destruction of a haughty spirit before a fall. We come to America sometimes from different places, but none of us were born Americans because there ain't no Indians in here.
Come on.
Don't look funny at me. I don't care if you're East Indian, West Indian, no Indians in here. Not American Indians. Maybe I should ask. I thought you were down. Who was born in this country and what you came from Iroquois? I don't know what tribe you came through, but we are transplants. If Columbus didn't bring us over on a boat, maybe we hijacked Ferdinand Magellan's. So, praise the Lord. But somebody have fooled us. Praise the Lord. I better leave that alone for a little while. Praise the Lord. Hello. Y'all still here? See, some of us who are endowed with a special and an extra measure of pride make us feel that we are genuine. We were here for the end. When they set forth on the cement rock, they didn't see the right level like us. Which one of them rocks you were hiding around? Your relative. Hello. Y'all still here? Wherever you brought your stuff from, praise the Lord, you were hooked. And then you came to America and got more hooked. Bad grammar. I hear all that. Under Americanized, colonialized, if I go back there, I'd be here all night. Stuff that you brought from Egypt. Go back and I get back to the Garden of Eden. Praise the Lord. And now the more we become colonialized, the more junk we get in us. And the only thing that's being lost in all of this mystique is that we don't want to study the Bible. We don't want to have an experience with the Lord. We become more heathenistic. Hello. And I come to free you. The word was here always to free you. Praise the Lord. And it doesn't matter because we sing songs and get hip-hop and pop-pop. Praise the Lord. You need the word. That's why we're talking about some infallible truths. the word don't need.
The God of our salvation wants to beautify us for salvation. That's emancipation and deliverance, so we don't have to spend a whole lot of time trying to thank God the Almighty. What's the name of the Christmas song, Holly?
I was tempted one time to go back in Jeremiah and talk about that tree that we get. Because we people think we are trees. Hello. But the only one that had any tree that was worth thinking about was the tree that Jesus hung on Calvary so we could emancipate us from the stuff that we are in. Hi, God. God wants us to understand that every valley shall be exalted and every mountain hill shall be made low. Praise the Lord. And the crooked shall be made straight and the rough places plain. And when God become in your life, it's not a talk, it's a walk. After a while, the more you surrender your life to the Lord, the more you can lay aside these things that you have grown accustomed to without feeling that you have lost something, because God makes the difference in your life and you can feel free when the anointing of God comes upon thee. You can have your sins washed away today. And the glory of God, of the Lord, shall be revealed, not then, but shall be in all flesh, shall see it together. Today we are almost walking into that era, and there's no calendar that has a correct date. That's all something. Indians didn't have no Christmas tree. Hello. And what religious people have done, have enslaved us.
Right.
What a heathen teaches. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hello. Don't get mad at me. I never spoke.
Oh, have mercy. It's so quiet here now until we can deck the trees. Praise the Lord.
The people that celebrate and get the most beneficial finances from Christmas don't believe in Jesus. They call him Jesus. The rest of us just buy into it and give them the money. And they celebrate it in the bank. Hello, y'all still here? Because it's time for us to go shop.
Because that's expected to us, of us, to shop. But today I bring you on a shopping spree. I come to free you from your bondage. I come to free you from your concept. I come to free you from this futile exercise that every year we go through and not give ourselves to the Lord. Today God can separate you from all of those kind of heathenistic ideas to the point that your soul can be anointed and you will feel the presence and you will feel the impulses and the comforting spirit of God, so that you have to go out and look for something to be a substitute for the real thing. Hallelujah. And that's the plan of salvation for man that Jesus came to bring. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now, he didn't tell Nathaniel, deck that fig tree out that you were sitting on.
Hello.
He didn't tell him, go back and get a fig. But he was introducing him, praise the Lord, to how he can get loose from his stuff. He says, and the voice cried and said, what shall I cry? This is why I want you to cry, all flesh. My flesh, your flesh, all flesh is but grass. And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. Keep on trying to find something to substitute for salvation, and you're never going to be delivered in your mind. Every year, all during the year, you're going to be held hostage. Letting somebody fool you into thinking, praise the Lord, what you wear and what you put on is going to free your soul. I'm here to tell you, praise the Lord, that that in what the Bible tells him about. Move with us if you will. Praise the Lord. Maybe to the third chapter of the book of Malachi, verse 3 and 1, before I get back into the third chapter of Matthew, so I can let you go and we can get it together. Praise the Lord. This is an interesting concept this morning. Maybe a little cold, a little cool, and I praise the Lord, what we have grown accustomed to, you see. Preach to me, Reb! I'm not trying to appeal to your emotion. This is not a theatrical experience this morning. Third chapter, praise the Lord. Malachi. The Bible says, behold, I send my messenger. He didn't say Yale send a messenger, Trinity send a messenger, Wesleyan send a messenger. God said, I send my messenger. And he shall prepare the way before me, not after me. Don't get angry with me. Praise the Lord. Because if you are a messenger, you must deliver the message that has been given to you, not that somebody else transposed and gave to you. Praise the Lord. You got to know who is in authority to give the right message. This messenger, when he shall come, he shall prepare the way before me and the Lord whom you seek. And that's how we get into the church and how we shall be having some experience with the Lord. Shall suddenly come to his temple. And the Bible says your body is the temple of the living God. Even the messenger of the covenant, this was an agreement, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But whom ye abide in the day of his coming, who shall stand in his place? For he is like a refiner of fire and a full of soap. When Christ comes into your life, he works on the inner part of you. You don't let the TV set parameters. Because the Bible says, anything know about metallurgical concepts, the more you keep and subject myriad minerals to fire, the more the impurities flow on the top that is called flak. Hello. And the more you subject gold to the fire, the more the impurities are purged out, the brighter the gold and the more pure it looks. And if we would but allow the Lord to come into our lives today, this moment, the better you would feel when you go back home. Be able to say to whomever you must report to, I've been to a church on yesterday. Hallelujah. And I never witnessed and I never heard anything like that. Praise the Lord. That old man with his bad mind used the word of God to tell me how I can be delivered. And I began to experience something while I was there. Praise the Lord. I begin to feel that refining fire. Hello. I begin to feel that presence that took place on the first church, that took place on the day of Pentecost at Jerusalem. Through the experience of God's anointing, praise the Lord, as we sat there and listened, praise the Lord, and the praise of God sat upon each one of us, with cloven tongues of fire, because they talk about prophecy. Hello. We can somewhat empathize and sympathize with fire is. It is something that if you touch and hold on too long, you would have some excruciating pain. But this fire that I'm talking about today, hallelujah, what turns out your old stuff. Hello. Now I'm going to tell you something else, Brother Grant. Brother Durant. You see, in order to keep on, you can't jump off the stove. Hello. You can't get around some people that are going to tell you it's okay to keep on doing because you're never going to be perfect anyway. Everybody And anybody that has gotten delivered from something, recognize when they're showing up delivered, that thing that they were being held hostage by doesn't affect them and doesn't make them, because the more you walk away from it, the more you leave it behind.
All right.
I want you to put somebody know what I'm talking about. They're elevated. They've never come in. Never been delivered from anything? You can't relate to what I'm saying. But if you know God like I know God this morning, you can say, I didn't think I got delivered, but one day my help came on. One day I began to feel little by little, and the further I got away from my stuff, the better I feel. And the better I feel, the better I wanted to feel. And I kept on walking. Because the anointing and the presence of God. Hallelujah. They didn't stop selling the drugs. Uh-huh. But I didn't have the desire to go down and see the bad man. Anyway, they didn't stop selling the weed. Praise the Lord. But I thank God my brain wasn't so thin until I was so hooked on it, I had to go back. And so I could talk my way. Anybody that's been involved with a whole lot of weed, they got bad brains.
Right. That's right.
They think you could talk it up. Mm-mm. You got to get delivered from that stuff.
Yeah.
That's a bad experience. That terrible situation to get hooked on. Praise the Lord. You can't get your innocence in that. Because you sold your soul to the devil's pawn shop. Lord have mercy. But one day, Sister Hunt, God came down to the pawn shop and redeemed us. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. When we thought we couldn't get unhooked. Somebody said, come and see. Other one said, there he goes. Hallelujah. And I, hallelujah, even in New York City, I can remember as though it was yesterday, nearly 50 years ago, when the Lord brought me from South Carolina into the midst of New York and Brooklyn and gave me my first taste of deliverance. Lord have mercy. And the things that I thought it couldn't be, until it happened to me. Hallelujah. Oh, I can say for assurance, right now, if God did it for me, he can do it for you. I don't care where you come from. I don't care who you are. If you really want it, God wants it, and he'll give it to you. Today you can have it. You can have it. But you have to want it. Nobody can want it for you. I don't care what you're hooked on. God is greater than that. Today is your day. This is your moment. You can have what God has for you. Don't look at somebody else and say, that's okay for you. Uh-huh. When Jesus rose from the dead, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. God wants to deliver you today. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. But when he gives you this refining fire, in nothing in this life, sometimes we get half-baked. We get half-cooked. We come and try to, we have another argument in futility, praise the Lord, coming to the church and trying to fool God, say, Lord, if you give me this education, if you give me this car, if you give me this wardrobe, and then you're hooked because you never got delivered. And you'll find yourself, as soon as you get what you thought you want, you'll start backsliding on God. But you can't backslide from fire. Hallelujah. Stay in the fire burn. If you set the fire is real. And if the Holy Ghost comes, you got to feel better. I don't have to get hooked. I don't have to find somebody to go on associated with. I am who I am by the grace of God, and I don't have no apologies to make. Praise the Lord. God ain't finished with me yet. Some of y'all were witnesses of some people that ain't got it and got a right one yesterday. Other folks recognize it too. Praise Lord, some of you have been sitting in here and got it right, but I thank God, God got a good job on me. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about this church that I am in. I'm talking this building, I'm talking this church that I am. I'm talking about this experience that I have gotten. I'm talking about this presence that I feel. I don't have to worry or be alone because I am comforted by the Comforter. Praise the Lord. I don't have to worry about a piece of money or a piece of little job or something that I had or have, because it, no job and no education can be like Jesus in my soul. The only education I need now is to try to see. Any man lack wisdom that lacks God, you're never going to graduate from a school of God, because God got so much more knowledge than you and I can ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Get it in your soul. When your other stuff come around you, if you haven't been delivered, you won't go back to it looking for another outside to pick. Got to be careful what you get. You got to be careful who gave it to you. Lord have mercy. Otherwise, you ain't going to last too long in this way. You'll be sitting around here thinking you're looking cute, and sin will mesmerize you with ugliness in your spirit. But the power of God is greater than anything your spirit has to offer. Don't get angry with us, kids. You're on the right track. Hallelujah. You're on the right track. But you have to let God finish the job. Hallelujah. And in those days, John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. We don't talk about from Isaiah. We don't spoke from Malachi. We don't come into John. We talked about it from Acts. All of these people are leading to the same thing. Praise the Lord. And the same king saw John sitting, had his raiment of camel's hair and lantern girdle about of the loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And then went out to him Jerusalem. Listen to us. And all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sin. And this was still not the revelation of what a genuine, honest, God-given baptism was all about. He was only, remember, preparing the way, so their hearts can be broken up, so they can understand why you do get baptized. And nobody anywhere in this Bible, or nobody you can find, including the Quran, that got baptized in the phrase Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That was started by the Catholic Church. 312 AD. Go back and read your own encyclopedias. I ain't got have time to go through that. But we are so gullible, we allow people, if it ain't worked for them, and all them priests, honey, where you think it works for you? And that's that church says, if anybody continue to practice, they're all proselytized for the Catholic Church. That's why they call them Protestants. And they protested, but they never left. Whoa. Sister Hunt looking at me kind of strange. I didn't write the book. If it didn't help them, it ain't gonna help you. That's because they didn't get the prophecy right. They went to school. Now. And they were baptized in Jordan, confessing their sin. These folks don't baptize you confessing no sins. They want you to tell you it's okay. We'll have blackjack on Monday night and go down to the Moonface Bear on Tuesday night, and we'll go down to, hallelujah, the Trump Center on Thursday night, and the priests be down there. Praise the Lord, and everybody's throwing the bomb bones, trying to see if they win. I'm trying to emancipate you from your bones. Hello. You come into church and say, I'm a Christian, but Christians mean to be Christ-like. And you wouldn't find Christ down there at a lottery table throwing no bones. You would find, don't get mad with me and think I'm bad mouthing you. You would find going to the store, to the, what's the name of those little shops you buy your little lottery tickets from?
Like 7-Eleven.
Hello, because I want to give rich. When you got salvation, you are rich beyond comprehension. You won't find your body being on the block. Don't get mad with me. God will deliver you today, right now. You'll be free. Somebody would have to say, like that woman that met Jesus at Pike's Well. See, I've been dealing with you folks for a long time. I've been walking with you for a long time. So get mad at me, but this man. Hello, he told me about my stuff. Your priest ain't gonna tell you about your stuff because your priest is interested in your money.
That's right.
And your priest ain't needing your stuff too. Hello, y'all still here? I'm talking about getting delivered. How can your preacher tell you to get delivered from your scotch on the rock when he's got some of bone, you know, hello, under his bed and in his praise the Lord, and he's trying to find an attitude for his spirit. Huh? He's trying to stimulate his soul. Sometime while he's preaching to you, he's taking, you think it's water. He's trying to get something to help him preach better.
Imagine me, I'm just here to talk to you.
Come on.
You think he's back there, probably even drinking, what's the kind of spring water from Appalachia? No!
He's getting stimulated. Hello. Oh! Don't get mad at me. You act like you don't want to understand. That preacher ain't got no more than you have. I'm talking about something bigger, better, more real. Come on, somebody. But you got to come and see. That's what that woman at the well. I had five of them things to call her.
Come
on, sister. Go. None of them
satisfied. After five of them. You know why? Because Jesus engaged her in a dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation went somewhat like this. She says, you being a Jew, and I'm being a Samaritan, they had racism way back then. And she thought she being a Samaritan was not on the same level as Jews. Praise the Lord. And they had nothing to do with that. And Jesus told her that they were coming.
Uh-huh.
They're coming. Hallelujah. When you get it like you ought to be, that you won't have to come to this